Today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Our readings are from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48, Psalm 98, and the Gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 18 through chapter 16, verse 4. Today's message is titled, For Everyone. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Here ends the reading from Acts. Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Here ends the psalm. Gospel according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus is teaching, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed My teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of My name, for they do not know the One who sent Me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. now. However, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. This is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Here ends the reading from the Gospel according to John. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that have grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hard to believe. It really is hard to believe that 42 years ago, about this week, in the month of May, a person came seeking someone to meet their need at a summer camp. Steve saw an ad in the paper for Oakwood's That Day in May celebration, and part of the event happening at the school stadium would be a climbing wall for children to try. I'd be up on the platform of the wall to help the kids rappel down after they're climbing up. Now, how did I end up on that platform? We had moved to Oakwood at the beginning of my 9th grade year. My younger brother was in 4th grade, and at his elementary school on Monday night, a climbing group would be beginning soon. The captain of the Oakwood Fire Department had been teaching climbing for years. My brother was interested and going, and I went along to see what was it all about. The climbing group was for elementary students, but they accepted me too, as I could be trained to be a helper with the 30 or so elementary kids. In the corner of the gym, the folding climbing wall was stored. And next to that climbing wall, when it was opened up, was an alcove of a window up high. Climb up the wall, transition into that alcove of the window, and then prepare and rappel down the wall. As the weeks progressed, I learned more and began to help more too. I did that for 4 years. Monday nights, I was there helping with the climbing group, learning more, helping more. So then 42 years ago in May, I was on that platform, the climbing wall platform set up on the track, and Steve asked me to come down to talk to him. Steve had just finished speaking with the captain, and the captain recommended, hey, you should talk to Jeff. Down I rappelled and the conversation began. Central Ohio Council Boy Scouts of America had an opening for a high adventure program leader. They had promised climbing to be offered that summer, and the person they had lined up would not be able to come to camp. Would I be interested? A time was set up for Steve to come over to my home and talk with me and my parents. So, a couple weeks before my high school graduation, with plans to work full-time all through the summer for McDonald's, That afternoon visit with Steve put my life on a whole nother course. From McDonald's to 10 weeks at summer camp. Before going to Boy Scout camp, I needed to get geared up for Boy Scout camp. Class A uniform with all the badges. My mom helped school them, sew them in the proper places. Scout shorts, scout socks, one pair of long pants too. And the merit badge books. You know, I had to learn what the merit badge books taught so I could teach them at camp. But I was there to teach climbing. Camp was just around the corner. Pulling out my grandfather's World War II footlocker, emptying out the stuff that was stored in it, I packed all my new stuff in it, my scout uniform, along with all those other necessities of going to camp. Loaded them up in the back of the car and headed off to a place I had never been before, to be with people I had never met, except Steve. It took me to summer camp also, a week-long summer camp for the first time. 10 weeks. Living in a wall tent. What's a nice thing about a wall tent on a platform, you can take nails and go around all the eyelets in the bottom of the wall tent and secure it down. Many a raccoon walked around the tent but couldn't get into the tent, and skunks too. But I mean, I'd be living in a wall tent for the summer, 10 weeks. Seven of them would be up at Camp Lazarus, north of Columbus on Route 23. Three of the weeks would be down at Longhorn, south of Logan, Ohio, down near Hocking Hills area. I'd be playing the bugle for flag raising and lowering and even sometimes for taps. Summer of 83, back to camp, another 10 weeks. Those two summers of Boy Scout camp led me several years later to Lutheran Memorial Camp at Homestead, summer of 91. Which was the beginning of several more summers at summer camp, which would also then bring Heather into my life and I into her life. And now all these years later, married together, I think we're in our 28th year now. A man came to me and asked me to go to summer camp with him. And the direction of my life was changed. And looking back, it was the Lord's doing. Three men came to Peter. And Peter's life was changed, as well as the church. The gathering of the believers was changed. It was transformed by the Lord God. Cornelius, he was a centurion in the Italian legion. It means he commanded 100. Very important position. He was described as a devout and God-fearing man, along with his whole household, regularly and generously gave alms and prayed to God. One afternoon, about the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a vision came to Cornelius of an angel of God with specific directions for Cornelius. You can find it written in Acts chapter 10. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Incredibly specific, very specific directions. Send for Peter. And if you want to know where Peter is, I'm telling you exactly where you can, your men can find Peter. Peter's life will be changed as these things are unfolding too. In Joppa, first the vision of a sheet from heaven comes down, and a voice comes to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not I, Lord, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice then said, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Three times this vision was given to Peter. In this, the Lord declared that those ritual rules of what animals to eat and what other things not to eat, that rule, back in the law, is set aside. And the Lord is now preparing Peter for what is coming, or rather, for who is coming. The three from Cornelius arrive, arrive just as these visions conclude, and Peter's thinking over, what does it mean? The three from Cornelius arrive and inquire if Peter was there. And at that same moment, the Spirit says to Peter, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. A huge change is about to happen. It's going to happen in Peter. It's in a change in the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For up to this point, they really thought the gospel of Jesus Christ was for the Jewish people. And now, you can experience, no, it's for everyone. It's for all people. A definitive change in understanding of what it means, the whole church, would be by the Lord God. Salvation in Christ is for all people, all nations. It's written, Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Deliverance, salvation, worked by the holy arm of God. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation. Other places in the Psalms show concern for the nations, that is, people other than the Jewish people. A few of the Psalms, Psalm 22, verse 7. All the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, Selah, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Psalm 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. Now, turning to the call of Abram. The call of Abraham, known as Abram at that time, and the setting apart of what would be the Jewish people from the nations as the chosen one of God. You even find this, Genesis chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And now bring in the words of Christ, the risen Christ, the crucified and risen Christ. Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 45. Then he, that is the risen Christ Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then, of course, Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Even with these words from the books of Moses, the Psalms, prophets too, regarding all nations, with the words of Christ to testify and make disciples of all nations, the notion of going to all nations, that means to the Gentiles, which means to those who are not Jewish, and those who did not have that mark of the Jewish covenant in their flesh, I mean, go to them I mean, it was not in their mind, in the early believers who made up the church, that the gospel was for them also. Up to this time in the life of the early church, the apostles were witnessing to fellow Jews or converts to Judaism, those who received the sign of the covenant in their flesh and became believers and living under the law of the Jewish people. I mean, they only witnessed to them, the fellow peoples. There really was no motion to go to the Gentiles. Philip speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch was very unique. The Gentiles? The promised Messiah of the Jewish people? Coming in fulfillment of the prophecies of the sacred writings of Moses and the prophets? What would a Gentile want with the Jewish Messiah? To change and to expand the understanding, the gospel of Jesus, salvation and forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ, in His name, is for all people. God is taking Peter from Joppa to Caesarea. Caesarea Maritima. So you don't get confused with Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Maritima. It's in the north. It's on the Mediterranean coast. And at that time, it was one of the world's largest artificial harbors. And along there was also the center of Roman governance in the region. This is the place, Caesarea, Peter is being taken to. This Caesarea came to its prominence because Herod the Great, along with that expansion, that great expansion of the temple area in Jerusalem of the temple. You know Herod the Great, the one that sent the soldiers to kill the boys in Bethlehem? This Herod the Great also aggressively built in Caesarea. He was the one that built this natural artificial harbor in Caesarea. He built theaters, he built a palace, he built an aqueduct. I mean, all of these magnificent structures Herod the Great built in Caesarea Maritima. And it was here in Caesarea. In 1961, the Pilate Stone was found. It was discovered in Caesarea, confirming that indeed Pontius Pilate was prefect during the time of Christ, in Christ's crucifixion. Up to that point, they doubted there even was a Pontius Pilate. 1961, this stone was found with his name, prefect. Indeed, he was prefect at Christ's crucifixion. Peter arrives in Caesarea at Cornelius' home and finds a large gathering of people. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Hear the change in Peter. Peter said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." Do you hear the change in Peter that God has done? It's forbidden for us Jews to associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me not to call any man impure or unclean, as Peter is now inside the household of a Gentile, Cornelius the centurion. You may not realize how huge this change in Peter truly is. Jews do not associate with Gentiles. Jews do not go into their homes, do not eat their food. Now, after the vision Peter had in Joppa and the Lord sending Peter Cornelius' home, a history change in heart is happening in Peter, and it's also happening in the church of the gathering of the believers. The all nations is coming to be for the everyone message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ would come into the church. The faith is offered for everyone and to be witness to everyone. Everyone is invited to repent and believe. No one is outside the offer of forgiveness and grace and mercy and compassion found in Christ Jesus. Cornelius tells Peter of his vision, concluding with Acts chapter 10, verse 33. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. All those filling the home of Cornelius are listening to everything the Lord has commanded Peter to tell them. It's interesting wording there. The Lord has commanded you to tell us. Well, coming for a centurion, maybe not unusual. Basically, the centurion saying, Peter, fulfill you who you are as an apostle, as sent by the Lord, as an eyewitness sent to testify. Tell us. Please tell us. We are ready to listen. Peter begins with, of truth I understand. Truth, aletheia. Aletheia, truth. Aletheia is truth, and it means divine truth revealed to man. Peter now understands this revealed truth to him from God. God is no respecter of persons. God is not partial. Rather, God loves all people, desires all to come to the faith and be saved. Years later, echoing this truth, this aletheia, Peter would write in his letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Acts chapter 10, verse 35, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Nation, the Greek word is ethnos. It basically means everyone who is not Jewish, meaning Gentiles. Gentiles fearing God. That's what reverence for God means. And working righteousness as the Lord defines righteousness. Those living that way are welcomed because they're pleasing to Him who is the living God. So Peter begins his preaching, his teaching, witnessing, testifying with, you know. Meaning Cornelius' household and all those with him, they know what has happened concerning Jesus in Judea and Galilee. Then Peter tells the account of Jesus from the eyewitness testimony perspective. So all this second hand, you know, third hand, you know, has come to Cornelius and his household. Now Peter, the eyewitness, is there to tell him, you know. Peter tells the true story of Jesus and of Jesus being crucified. Jesus rising on the third day. Jesus, that risen Jesus, body, physical, resurrection of Jesus, being witnessed by many. And now how Peter's commanded to preach and testify what the prophets testify. Quoting from verse 43 of Acts chapter 10, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came upon those hearing this message of Peter. Astonished by what has just happened, Peter and the Jewish believers with him, they can't believe it. They're just astonished. What has just happened? I mean, that's what circumcised believers mean. They're Jewish believers. So Peter and the circumcised with him saw the Holy Spirit come upon the uncircumcised Gentiles. He couldn't understand. The ones with the sign of the covenant in the flesh are now witnessing the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on the Gentiles who don't have the sign of the covenant. And the proof is in the praising of God in the various tongues, that is languages, the various languages, just as they remember and experienced on the day of Pentecost. Peter says, what keeps them from being baptized? They received the Holy Spirit just as we did. As Peter was telling the true story of Jesus, a great sign was given by God. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Everyone. Here we are, Gentiles hearing the story of Jesus, Holy Spirit coming upon them. What's to keep them from being baptized? They received the Holy Spirit just as we did. Do you see how transforming Acts chapter 10 really is in the early church? Forgiveness is for everyone. Faith can be in even the uncircumcised Gentile. Faith can be in them. A great change in understanding. And this change in understanding is fortified by this great sign, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Now, as Jesus warns in Gospel of John chapter 15, though the gospel is for everyone, not everyone will willingly listen and receive as Cornelius and his household had done. Will do eventually by that time, yeah. Persecutions will come. And the killing of you will be viewed as serving God. Still, you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Really pay attention to what Jesus is saying here. Persecutions will come. They will even kind of kill you. They will kill you, as Stephen's already dead. I believe James is already dead at this time. Actually, in Acts chapter 10, but Jesus is warning this is coming. In John 15, they will kill you. Still, you must testify. You must testify. Notice, Jesus never said change the message to make it more acceptable. You will be persecuted. Don't change the message. They will kill you. Don't change the message. You must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is and as it always has been and always should be. Make it more acceptable, they say. Such as honey attracts better than vinegar. Yet, white vinegar is great for cleaning and can disinfect too. And that is what repent and believe, the good news of Jesus Christ, means. To be cleansed by His precious blood. And to be set free from sin, death, and the devil. To have that new life in Christ. And it's for everyone. Tell the story of Jesus. And leave the result to the Lord God. And the wonders of the Lord's compassionate mercy and grace. As Peter learned along with the early church, the gospel is for the Gentiles too. That is, the gospel is for everyone, especially you. Amen and amen.